All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles and going right back to 1 Timothy. And I always kind of laugh when, different ones say different things about, well, you know, when you're going to be here, when you're going to be there. And, you know, I leave that up to God. And I'm just surprised we even got out of the first chapter of Philippians when we were there. So, you know, we're in 1 Timothy, and we're just having a good time in chapter 1, and I'm not in any hurry. I just want to be on His time. Is that all right? So I'm thankful to God, and I'll tell you, this will never be exhausted. I hope we know that, and my goodness, what a privilege. It's nothing of us. It's just by His Spirit, but boy, when He opens stuff up, we better attend, and I think He's been giving us a portion, and I'm so thankful to God for it. But in that first Timothy in chapter 1, we left off in the 18th verse. We're just going to pick it up right there. It says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, as we've been reading this, and I'm hopeful that we're encouraged that, you know, brothers and sisters, this word is speaking to us. By God's grace, this message, this gospel given to Paul, we're the Timothys. This is the ones receiving this. And I'm so grateful to God that this is real. This is the reality of it all. This is going on right now. This word is alive, and it's working effectually in them that believe. And until you see that this is your message, you'll never fully embrace to know the love of Christ. How intimate He is with us, that this wasn't just to those that man and from that man at that time. No, by God's grace, this is by His Spirit, and this is to His body. I would that we're going to read here, not tonight, but we'll get there soon. I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. That's you. You, that's all of us. Praise God, that's every man that's ever been. That was the purpose of God. He is not a respecter of person in any degree. He died for the sin of man. Isn't that wonderful? I'm just so thankful to God. What a loving God we have. But as we read this, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy." See, it's right back to reminding us again of the charge. And let's remember what that charge means. It's the message. The charge is the message. I'm reminding you of this message. And let's not forget how it was expounded to us in verse 5, as we go back and you see now the end of the commandment. And that word, the end of the commandment, it means the completion of the message. Remember Paul in Colossians, it tells us that he was given the message that fulfilled, it completed the word of God. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. It couldn't be any more clear. He'll judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. It's what it is. I mean, the Bible's clear anyways, but there's sometimes it's just boom, you know. And listen, and he that hath an ear, attend to these things. And my goodness, what transformation will happen in our lives. But see, it comes but one way as we look at that fifth verse too. I want us to really understand this, that see this completion of this message in our lives, this growing up into Christ Jesus in all things. And again, this is Paul's message that was given to Paul, this dispensation that the Gentile should be fellow heirs. That's joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. This is the message. This is this wonderful charge that has been given. But it comes but one way, and it says, is charity or love, back there in that fifth verse, out of a pure heart. That means a pruned heart, a tested heart. See, the love of God is going to be tested in you. It's being tested in you. You know it. Thanks be to God. We would not endure hardness as good soldiers if we weren't in love with His love to us. It's not just in love with Jesus, it's because of His love to us. That's the thing. I'm so thankful I can say I love you, Jesus, but I understand I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. That's what we need to get. And I'm so thankful that finally the bride, the readied wife, understands that. I am my beloved's and it's His desire that is toward me. I'm not worried about how I look anymore. I'm not going to look at the mirror on my hands anymore. He's at the door. He just wants me. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Amen? That's when we get satisfied with Him. That's when we get our eyes off of ourselves. And praise the Lord, we begin to run the race with a full joy, a full overcomer. Praise God. See, that's the next part of this, which is that good conscience. See, that's that faith attitude. That's the very mind of Jesus Christ. See, we take His mind because He freely gives it to us. And when we take His mind, we see ourselves as Christ sees us. Praise God. We see what He wants. We desire that. You fall in love with that mind. I mean, you talk about a mind that is thinking of you and cares for you and wants you to take all of Him and praise God. And then finally you see, it says, of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And I'm going back over this, and praise God, I pray this is something that plays across our heart all the time. This faith unfeigned, it's the undisguised faith. It's the real deal. It's genuine. It's this is it. This is what I believe. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is what my life is about. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Praise God. And there is a delirious attitude in this, just as David. He panted after the Lord. And that's what he saw, which doesn't even compare to what God in the better thing that He's given to you. Praise the Lord. So, as we see here in this 18th verse, it's in the message. Isn't that wonderful again? It's not the vessel. It's the treasure. Praise the Lord. It's not the messenger. It's the message. Praise be to God. I think how perfectly, again, thinking of Sunday's message about how even with Christ Himself, there was no beauty of Him physically that we would behold Him. That wasn't the beauty. The beauty was the treasure. Jesus Christ full of grace and truth. Oh, how I love that. Praise the Lord. God, help us to see that Christ in you and Christ in me. But you see, it's the message. It's not in the theologians. It's not in the scholars. It's not in a religion. It is in the message. And he says, I commit unto you the son Timothy. And I appreciate how precious Paul addresses this dear brother. You know, he's a trembling guy. We understand Timothy is, he's somewhat of a wreck right now. He's a little bit fearful. He's going to have to be encouraged to stir up the gift. And this is what we're going to read here in a minute is part of that, that he needs that. But instead of Paul smacking him and crushing him, son Timothy, come on. What a privilege, brother. God's in control. I think of it the same way as my precious elder in this meeting as I was walking up those back steps and I was pretty much crushed. And he didn't know what was going on, and all he could do, he said, you know, as far as I know, son, God's still on the throne. And I had my own prayer meeting, I think, on the third step right there immediately, and that's how it was going to be. And that's what it is, the reality of what we live, and God help us to grasp that moment by moment. But see, he says to him in that encouragement, brother, it's not my choosing of you. We're relying on what God already did. See, that's what God already did. Listen to this. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. See, it went on before on thee, my son Timothy. It came down. And I think how wonderful. Grace comes down, doesn't it? Praise God. It came down on him, and how wonderful it fell. And it fell just like the mantle that went from Elijah to Elisha. And praise be to God, God's anointed him with it. And praise God, brothers and sisters, this same anointing of this message is yours. If you'll take it, it's yours. God knows what he's doing. He's exact with his word. I'm so grateful that he knows when there's rich soil, and praise God in that planting and what he's given us. And there is much required in what he has given us, so much we could never even imagine. But again, but God and his grace, how it causes us to run. But I think about this, how it fell upon this brother, and I can testify of this grace personally in many different ways in my life. But one, obviously, that was similar to this brother is when God called me to be a pastor, and I'm grateful to God. I appreciate it. I remember very clearly when the Lord brought me back from Mexico, the very first service was Easter service, and I remember up here at that moment that the brothers were coming up to anoint, and as they say, the ordination and all of those different things, and I appreciate them laying hands upon me and all, but I want you to know I was already ordained. God had already ordained me. The grace had already come down. I am so grateful to God that it is of the Lord. I am so thankful to God. It's just like Brother Paul. As he said, this gospel given to me wasn't of man. It was of Jesus Christ himself. And I'm thankful to the Lord. In a sense, brothers and sisters, we have all had our own road to Damascus experience. It has happened, that transformation. Praise be to God. He has shown that light upon us, that revelation of enlightening the eyes of our understanding. And God help us by his grace to go on. Not that we've apprehended, but there's an insatiable appetite. I don't know how to explain it, but God tells you in Philippians, I press, I reach. It's not anything of my work, it's just that grace. Lord, I just want more of your grace. My pressing and reaching is at the throne of grace. It's not out there in the mission field or anything of that nature. It's at the throne of grace. I need more grace. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All at the throne of grace. Don't leave that place. That's where we need to be. You see how we get excited about this, but this is so, so wonderful. Now, it's by the promises of God to us. And by grace alone, we fight this good warfare. Think of that, the good warfare. And we understand the good warfare is the fight of faith. And so many don't fight well. And the reason so many don't fight well is because there's no faith. See, without the Word of God, you think you're believing God, but without the Word of God, there's no faith. Faith is the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is believing the Word of God. And if you don't have that, you're not going to fight a good warfare. It cannot happen. Some people try to fight a good warfare without taking the armor of God. You won't fight a good warfare. You have to have the whole armor of God. And then taking the whole armor of God, you best be quickened in love, or you're not going to fight a good warfare. The quickening power of the love of Christ, that knowing that it's his love for us that's made us more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. Don't you love going out every day and knowing that you're more than a conqueror? I mean, people think that they're ready to mow you over, and the lion's ready to eat you up, and the devil just sitting there thinking, oh, I got this snare for him. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ that loved me. I know that what's going on is from my Lord, praise God, and that he's prepared this battle, and he's prepared the outcome as well. See, the way of escape has already been made. The victory has already been won. If he be for me, who could be against me? And see, that's just more than good stuff. It's just fact. And I'm so thankful that in that fact of his love to me is the key to living the full overcomer in Christ's life. And that's what God does. But there again, I should say there it is again in verse 19. We'll move there. It says, holding faith. Isn't that wonderful? It's not holding my works. It's not holding a religion. It's holding faith. Here's faith. Here's faith. It's holding faith. Praise God. It's his word. This is what it is. And praise his name. I told you I can't anymore help but touch these pages too. But not that it's anything in a physical, but how can I not? It's my precious Lord, and I'm so thankful to God. But it says in verse 19, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So, holding faith. Hold that fast. which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I'm looking at, and I remember my precious and your precious pastor saying it many, many times, and not to flatter you, but the aristocracy of, well, we call it the universe. I don't even know what it is, but it's beyond whatever I ever thought it was, but of everything. I mean, that's who you are in Christ. And the potential to be that wife that will be glorified together with him. I love the ruling and reigning, but there's something about that glorified together with him. There's something about his glory that just sends shudders up and down my spine. And to think, Lord, who may glorified together with you? That's a lover, I'll tell you. But see, it's all by faith. And I thought it was so sweet. The Lord encouraged my heart to encourage your heart. It's by faith. Think of Hebrews 11:33. Think what faith does in our lives. Through faith, it subdued kingdoms. By faith, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. By faith, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, out of weakness, were made strong. By faith, waxed valiant in fight, turned the fight the armies of the aliens. By faith, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. By faith, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And that's all by faith. Simply, Lord, you said it, and I believe it. Praise be to God. Without any works of the flesh, without any joining of anything, branding me, I'm of this religious group or this denomination, that is just man's hooey. And that's exactly what it is. It's by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Know it. Believe it. And by faith, praise God, we believe there's some better thing for us. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not nuts. I'm not arrogant. I'm not overzealous. I'm just believing the Lord. He said a better thing for us, that they, and you know who they are, go back and read that precious 11th chapter. I mean, the worthies of faith, the hall of fame of the Old Testament. But they without us cannot be made perfect. You're mighty important to God. Isn't that wonderful? But it's all because of Jesus. So again, that better thing, that we will win him by his grace, lay hold, and as it says here, holding faith. Holding faith means to cling to it, to wear it. Isn't that wonderful? It's a garment. It's a passion. It's not holding on like this. It's just cling to that old rugged cross. It's a hug. Praise God. It's already got me. Why not hug it back? Even means, and I'm telling you, this is what it means. Don't make these things up. This is just your precious word. Been given in marriage. That's what that word means. Holding, been given in marriage. How about joining to it? What do you think? Settle down in marriage with it? A chaste virgin to it? Aren't we just silly, stupid creatures not to want to nuzzle up to faith when it's been so freely offered to us, but yet somehow, some way, this weak and dumb flesh just wants to go off to the land of unbelief so quickly? But God. See, and this is what it is. This increases our faith. It's his word. And so grateful to God. Prayer, love, fellowship. Don't push those things away in your life. But praise God. Faith is always there for the readied wife. Faith always gives us the good conscience. Faith always brings the mind of Christ, because it is the mind of Christ. Faith is the word of God and believing the word of God. It gives us the most optimistic, more than a conqueror, full overcomer in Jesus Christ attitude there could ever be. Holding faith. Praise the Lord. But then, as it says here in this precious chapter, or this verse, I should say, it's the opposite is exactly what happens when we put away faith. That's what it says there, see? When we holding faith and a good conscience, which some have, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. That's what happened, shipwreck. See, put away means to push away. Put away means to refuse it. See, it's there. That's the thing. By God's grace, that grace is full of faith. It is, and it's there for you. And it's just believing. We've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. We've been blessed with the whole Word of God. But when we refuse it and reject it, it's a shipwreck. And every one of us know that. And I'm talking about even after, can you imagine, believing God? You don't need to duck your head. We're here. More importantly, He's here because we're here in His name. But see, I heard it again last week, and these are the things that just break my heart. Saints that have known the full gospel of Christ, saints that have run well, but yet they get off into these things, but see, the enemy, he's just so subtle. Well, we don't preach the bridal doctrine anymore because people don't want it. Well, sure, people don't want it. Bible tells you people don't want it. But the Bible also tells you preach the word. And even the much the more. And praise God how the Lord tells you that. And then as I told you recently too, I hadn't spoken to this brother for quite some time, and I was speaking with him, and you know, he's telling me about preaching, and I just was thrilled. I said, "Isn't it a thrill to preach that Paul's gospel?" And I remember so clearly, he said to me, he said, "Man, if I preach that Paul's gospel just like you do, I'd just be preaching the same thing." I just thought, what are you saying? You ever read Galatians 1? Preach no other gospel. Preach none other. There's only but one. And if you preach any other gospel, it's bewitched. The Lord is very clear. He's jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He just is. He loves you. And this is what it is. He's put it all in His Son. And I do understand it because it's but for the grace of God, there go I. But what don't we want to get about that? What don't we want to get? See, that's what unruly, spoiled children do, don't they? They just don't want to behave. They want it their way. I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to be stiff-necked. That's a child. Be a man of God and submit. Lord, I'm sorry I was wrong. Now let's go on. That's all it is. And that's for you. He's already forgiven. He's waiting. Waiting. Praise be to God. See, faith, brothers and sisters, the Word of God tells us faith is the only thing that pleases God. It's the only thing that pleases God. It says it is impossible to please God without faith. So you think about church. You think about religions. I mean, isn't that really the kind of the purpose of why you get together, in a sense, to... At least it should be, let's put it that way. I'm kind of being facetious here, but to get together, to have a church or a religion, I would think it is to please God. But that's not what they do. They want to please themselves. They're men pleasers. Self. We're going to do it our way. You know, what's this word of God? We'll just, you know, call it this, and we're going to preach that. But brothers and sisters, concerning faith, when you turn from the Word of God and all of its teaching, the whole counsel of God, when you turn from that, sin begets sin, and it will be a shipwreck. You'll miss the mark. You will. And that's exactly what it is. It's just a confusion. And that's the author of confusion, is the enemy. There is no pleasing God in error. There isn't. There's no pleasing God in error. I tried. Well, it was close. It's ridiculous. It's but one way. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. You will not please God without truth. You will not please God without Jesus. Amen. So, Peter knew this. I was thinking about his final words, and we'll go over there. We got a little bit of time. In, what is that, 2 Peter. And let's see what he says here. Let's read that together. We'll read from verse 12 of chapter 3 in 2 Peter. You think what this poor brother had been through. But I'm so thankful that these last things were written. You can see the victory. Praise God. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I think about how man gets so caught up with this earth. Isn't it funny? Come on now. I got my recycle out too. Shame, shame. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. Isn't that wonderful? God's been dealing with me about something like that for Sunday. See, I want to be peace. Yeah, that's a readied wife. She knows her husband loves her. Without spot and blameless, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul. Man, and just think how Paul got after poor Peter. Isn't that something? My beloved brother, our beloved brother Paul. Also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Isn't that something? You see, Peter knew it. By God's grace, his eyes enlightened to understand. There's no pleasing God in error. What he's saying there, brothers and sisters, in so many words, is follow Paul as he followed Christ. Isn't that sweet? His send-off. I know that message was not for me. If you know, and I know we know the Word of God, and I'm so thankful. Peter's place is not in the midst of the throne. It's on one of the 12 thrones, ruling over the 12 tribes. And he will be satisfied just as much, because that's what God has met him with, as those that will be ruling and reigning with Christ Jesus. Wonderful. That's how God does it. But praise God, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory that is before us that this brother will not enter into. You're talking Peter like that. You best not say that. My Italian guide heard me say that. He'd say, Peter the man. Peter is the man. Paul was important, but Peter's the man. I pray for that guy. Because he saw and I just didn't budge. And he says, well, what do you know? So I started telling him about Paul. And the one thing I told him right away that got his attention, I said, did you know that Peter was the apostle to the Jew? He says, it is say of that? I said, yeah, it says that. He said, really? I said, yeah, it does. I said, I didn't realize there were so many Jews in the Catholic Church. I'm just reading the Word of God. Paul, the apostle to the Gentile. It's the Word of the Lord. I love people. I love souls. By God's grace, I'm so thankful. I've got a whole family on my daddy's side full of Catholics. Praise God. It's well. Some are saved. And I'm so thankful to God that there's some Methodists saved. There's some Presbyterians saved. But I just want to preach the whole counsel of God. All right? I'm not worried about your label. The only thing I'm concerned with, do you know Christ is your Savior? Let's just go there, and then we can build on from there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, wonderful. But as Peter says, follow Paul as he followed Christ. But I think, isn't it amazing how rare it is? Christians overwhelmingly looking for anything else but the truth and love doctrine. But again, that's why she's a goodly pearl. That's why she is a pearl of great price. That's why she is so rare. And it's because the Bible tells us so. Praise God. All right, verse 20. And we'll close it up with this. And there's quite a bit here. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, I don't want us to get all bent out of shape about the phrase delivered unto Satan. Because it's very necessary. It is very necessary because it's the Word of God. When Christians, and I'm going to tell you something, when Christians, yes, when they put away faith, when they push it away, when they're going to refuse it, if they want the prince and the power of this air, which happens to be Lucifer himself, that's what the Word of God tells us. The prince and the power of this air at this time is Satan. If people want to go that way, if they want that power to be their master, there comes a time when you're going to have to let them go. And I want you to stay with me on this. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy, because this continues on with this same subject. And we'll go on to the second chapter. And in verse 15 of 2 Timothy, we're going to read quite a bit here. We'll read from 15 all the way through the end. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Just sets it right out there. You need the whole counsel of God, you need it rightfully divided. This isn't a speed reading course. It's not how many times I can read through the Bible. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord, and it needs to be rightly divided. Shun, 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So you start speaking things and talking about things that aren't the Word of God. Remember I just said about sin begetting sin? This is exactly what it does. All it does is produce more ungodliness. It leads that way. It can't lead. Steps away from faith do not lead to God. They lead away from the throne of grace. And their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. See how the Lord is so gracious. He keeps reminding us there. The seed still remains. I scratch my head. I say, Lord, you're wonderful. I'm so thankful you did it. Because nobody I know, including myself, ever could. And praise be to God, I know that. But more importantly, it's because the Bible tells me so. But nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let every one that names the name of Christ, nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. I love this verse. Meet for the master's use. See, that's a vessel that's set aside just for the master. Remember how Brother Hill used to talk about the mustache cup? You always remember that? Isn't that wonderful? See, you men that might have a mustache and you have your own mustache cup, you don't get that out for everybody else to use. That's set aside for you. That's yours. Okay? And prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolishness and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. See all that nonsense? Just get away from it. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So, think about what we just read there. See, Timothy was charged at the very beginning of our study tonight to hold faith in a good conscience. Hymenaeus and Alexander, they pushed it away. Okay? Hold it, but they pushed it away. They were delivered unto Satan, it says, to learn not to blaspheme. It did not say that they were delivered and lost their salvation. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 5 here in just a moment. We're going to read about a brother, and so precious, it says, even if he would have stayed in the things that he was in, it said his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Okay? The seed that remaineth is exactly what it says. It is exactly what it means. We can never be separated from the love of God. It says also that they have erred from the truth. It says also that they have overthrown the faith of some. It's a horrible thing when we hurt the body of Christ. It's one thing when we hurt ourselves, but it's another when we hurt the body of Christ. I think the Lord's stopping me for a moment there. Ask some of the brethren, as I was thinking on this, whether in this meeting, and we can be honest within ourselves, and it's glory to God. I love it. But some of the brothers and sisters, even in this meeting, after knowing the truth, even living by God's grace for the coming of the Lord, rejoicing, but yet... When you push away faith, what darkness comes? How the devil can get you to believe an absolute lie. And but for the grace of God, there go each and every one of us here. Know these things. Don't you dare be as Peter. Oh, Lord, I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to leave you. I think he kind of said, get thee behind me. Huh? Luke 22, you know, Peter, I'm praying for you, son, because the devil's going to sift you like wheat. But it was necessary. He had to just let him go. And after that cock crowed that third time, thanks be to God for the grace of God, because it struck him deep quickly. And that just sent chills all up and down my body. Lord, quick to be softened and tender, quick to have a repentant heart. Praise be to God. But you see, brothers and sisters, that can happen. And Romans 1, just talking to a brother about that in the office before he came out, it tells it very clearly what sin does when you quit giving God the glory and quit giving him thanks. Now, we understand that that's talking about sinners there. I do understand that. But I'm going to tell you something. As Christians, if we follow after Satan's ways, even though we are and always will be sheep, we can act just like a dog. Oh, yes, we can. And oh, yes, I have. So I can testify when I have pushed away faith in my life, I was barking, even though I was a sheep, because I was going after a lie. Amen? Okay. So again, these are things we have to understand. But as I mentioned, in 1 Corinthians 5:5, and we'll move along, but I want us to touch on this. Lord, encourage my heart here. But 1 Corinthians 5:5, let's go over there. This is speaking, well, let's read it first, and then we'll talk about it here. But in 5:5, well, go back to 4. It says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Now that's so important, brothers and sisters. What we just read there was in Corinth at that time, and these saints that were there, they were practicing all sorts of awful, horrible things. Kind of like today. Oh, that's okay because society says it is. Nero even has a 12-year-old boy lover, and that's okay because, you know, the Caesar's doing it. So it's all right, you know. "And the evil of man shall wax worse and worse." I just want to make sure we just do a check here of what's going on and what goes down. God help us to look to the Word of God and not to society to pacify the enemy's lies in our lives. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful to the Lord in that. So it's very clear. There's not gray. It's light. It's light. Amen. So, but this brother was entering into fornication with his father's wives. Basically taking them to fornicate, despicable, disruptive to the body of Christ. Praise be to God, in 2 Corinthians 6-8, we understand that this brother was delivered of that, and he was restored to fellowship. Even though at that time when he was caught up into that and he wanted to go that way, there wasn't any more fellowship. We still love you, we're going to pray for you, but you're not going to bring that in here. That's not going to happen, because it disrupts the body. We cannot promote that, because that's against the Word of God. We're standing in defense of the gospel of Christ. It's not that we're doing checks in everybody's life, but there was a pushing of that, that it was something that should be practiced and could be practiced, that it was the green light for Christianity, and that's not right. We all have issues and we have problems, and God is dealing with us, and I'm so thankful to the Lord. And that's before the Lord and you only, praise be to God. But in the house of God and in our fellowship, we still stand for the promises of God. And that's what Paul was encouraging these ones. As you continue to love them, you pray for them. But it's not a free-for-all to God. It's not every man's going to do what's right in his own eyes and we're going to win God's best. It does not work that way. It's the word of his grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And praise God, we have the word of his grace, and it is right here. But I'm so thankful that he came out of that. But what we are reading here in this fifth verse is that even if he did not come out of that, even if he would have stayed in that and completely have stayed in that place of being led around by Satan, completely destroying his life and destroying his testimony, his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. And that is the absolute proof and assurance that whosoever believes in me shall never die. Everlasting life is everlasting life. And the seed that remaineth is just what it is. It remains. So, as we close with this thought, though, I want us to understand, when we jumped ahead a little bit, the 2 Timothy. It said it was a canker. And I want you to understand what a canker is to the body. It speaks of something that is diseased. It speaks of something that has gangrene, basically, is what that really means. And I'm going to tell you, legality does that. Vain babblings does that. preaching the resurrection is past does that. And as we were reminded so sweetly of Galatians, O ye foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? I'm so thankful that the grace of God encourages us to obey the truth and to preach it more earnestly and more fervently, and by God's grace to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We want to be ready for the appearing of the Lord. We want to be pleasing to God. But brothers and sisters, I think what we read here tonight is that the sins of the flesh, they're hurtful. But when we swerve from the truth and we push away faith, that hurts the body. It hurts the body. It causes a canker. And the Lord even says, I would that they were cut off. And sometimes that literally doth happen, because God will not be mocked. He will not. He's a loving God, and in His love, He will not be mocked. And I'm just thankful, though, that as the Lord had to deal with Peter, as we already mentioned, that even though it was a tough lesson, it brought the reality that Peter, it's by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith. And faith comes one way, son. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.